You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 5th of June, 2024. The Australian share market did rise today, up by 0.4%. We'll have the details with Julia Lee from Global State Street Investors. But first, to the economy, where GDP expanded just 0.1% in the March quarter to be up 1.1% for the year, but that's the weakest annual growth since the 1990s recession outside the COVID period. For more, I spoke with Shane Oliver, the chief economist at AMP.
The economy is basically close to stalling. We saw only 0.1% growth. Annual growth is the lowest it's been since 2021. Obviously, the pandemic period, weakest since the pandemic period. But more importantly, we've seen the economy go backwards on a per capita basis for the fifth quarter in a row. The economy has gone backwards, in fact, by 1.3% on a per person basis, which, again, excluding the pandemic, is the worst outcome for the economy since the early 1990s recession. So we're basically seeing here an economy which is close to stall point.
Can you explain that in a bit more detail? Because we're technically not in a recession. The economy is not in a technical recession, but per capita we are and have been for quite a few quarters. Put that into context. What exactly does it mean? And how exactly are Australians feeling it?
Well, basically, the economy is still growing, if only just. It was up 0.1% in the last quarter, 1.1% over the course of the last year. So that's well and good. It's still growing. But a big driver of that, in fact, the major driver has been very, very strong population growth. If you exclude the impact of the surge in the population, the economy on a per-person basis is actually going backwards. So that's what we mean by per capita. And in this case, we're in a per capita recession and have been for the last five quarters. So in other words, for the average person out there, it will feel very much like a recession. We're seeing something almost akin to what we saw in the early 1990s. That's being reflected in very weak measures of consumer spending. Were it not for strong population growth, the consumer would be going backwards. Australians are starting to feel this, of course, in the form of tougher cost of living conditions, a weakening jobs market, and, of course, the ongoing impact of high mortgage rates also impacting households.
Didn't the household sector, though, still contribute to some growth in the economy? But how much of that is on forced spending in terms of consumers or households having to spend money on essentials, for example?
Look, we did see the consumer grow last quarter. Consumer spending was up 0.4%. But don't forget, the population grew about 0.5% on the ABS's estimates. So the bulk of the increase in consumer spending, if not all of it, more than all of it, can be explained by stronger population growth. We also, and that, of course, led to increased spending on essential services like rent and power and so on, as you would expect with a growing population. Interestingly, there's also a bit of growth in areas like gambling, travel, and events. And of course, I guess that would be including Taylor Swift and Pink concerts, which were massive through the last quarter. And of course, that's going to be a temporary boost that will come out of the numbers as we go into the current quarter. So yes, there is a bit of life in consumer spending, but as far as I can see, it's either temporary or it's just driven by very strong population growth.
What other parts of the economy aren't doing so well?
Well, basically, we're seeing a lot of weakness through the areas of investment. Housing investment is going backwards. Construction activity went backwards in the last quarter. That was partly offset by a pickup in equipment investment. But the big drag on the economy in the last quarter was very, very weak trade. In other words, what we call net exports, that's the difference between the volume of our exports less the volume of our imports, that went backwards. So our trading situation is actually deteriorating. And of course, we saw that a day or so ago with the Australian economy going back into a current account deficit. And we also see that in declining trade surpluses.
So ultimately, what does this all mean for the Reserve Bank and the direction of interest rates? I think we heard from Michelle Bullock earlier today speaking at Senate Estimates, again reiterating that, hey, interest rates may still rise if we need to lift them. But while growth is anemic, the Reserve Bank's facing the challenge of dealing with higher interest rates at the same time, right?
Look, this is a very difficult situation for the Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank has been trying to trace out or move down a narrow path. I think that path is getting increasingly narrow. Yes, we have seen progress on inflation, but not as much as the Reserve would like. But at the same time, we're on the verge of tipping into recession. And that means we would go off the narrow path if that occurs. I think these numbers just provide a warning to the Reserve Bank. Yes, inflation is still too high. If you keep raising interest rates, you're simply going to knock us, or almost certainly knock us, into that recession that we've been fearing. But the other thing the Reserve Bank needs to allow for is that interest rates impact the economy with a lag. Now we're seeing very weak growth in the economy. The economy is going backwards on a per-person basis. And that tells me that companies are going to have far less pricing power. If the economy is starting to go backwards in terms of a per-person spending, at stall speed in terms of overall economic growth, it's going to be harder and harder for companies to raise their prices, which in turn means downwards pressure on inflation. So the bottom line, I think, is that the Reserve Bank has done enough. It's a case of sitting on their hands for a little while. I think later this year, they will be in a position to start cutting interest rates as the economy continues to soften. And in the meantime, that results in a lower inflation.
Shane Oliver, AMP Chief Economist.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
But the Australian share market actually rose higher even after the data was released, the S&P ASX 200 finishing 0.4% firmer at 7,769. For more, I spoke with Julia Lee from State Street Global Advisors. Julia, so Australia's economy is continuing to slow with GDP up just 0.1% in the quarter. Should Australians be worried?
We have seen Australia slowing with growth coming to pretty much a standstill for the first quarter of the year with just a 0.1% growth rate, taking the annual rate to 1.1%. I guess if we have a look at what is happening under the hood, there's a lot of interesting moving parts. First of all, the savings rate, the household savings rate, has fallen quite dramatically from 1.6% down to 0.9%. That takes it to an almost 15-year low. And it's unsurprising given that we are seeing households under pressure because of the cost of products and services rising. And talking about services, services inflation did remain elevated. We know that labour costs are something that many businesses are finding very difficult, and that was also reflected in. But on a positive note, if we have a look at unit labour costs, if you were worried about the wage price spiral, no signs of that with labour costs coming in at 0.7%. And so it does look like a bit of a sigh of relief by the Reserve Bank of Australia in terms of the wage part of the equation. State by state, though, it looked very different as well. And the states that did very well in terms of growth were Queensland and New South Wales. On the flip side, those states which are driven a lot by mining, they came under pressure. So the Northern Territory as well as Western Australia coming under pressure in terms of growth. So look, a pretty weak set of numbers all up. I guess we are seeing that the Australian economy is slowing. And of course, that has implications for investors because as the economy slows, generally in terms of the share market, you start to see defensive type of investments outperforming.
Okay, you mentioned briefly the Reserve Bank. What is the outlook now for official interest rates?
Well, many Australians will be hoping for a rate cut, especially since our counterparts in other parts of the world look like they are ready to cut rates. We have a look at the European Central Bank. They've been quite transparent that rate cuts will start as early as June. And in fact, the market's already priced in another rate cut for the ECB in September as well. And Canada as well looks like will start on the rate cutting cycle this week. We have a look at the US. Two rate cuts are already priced in, but here in Australia, the market's pricing in no rate move for 2024. And I guess we'll have to wait till 2025 until mortgage holders get some sort of relief.
What's been the reaction on the share market? What's been moving it today?
Well, we have seen the Australian share market strengthening. In particular, we have seen some of the interest rate sensitive areas like property doing well. And if we have a look at the areas of weakness, well, we know that iron ore has been under pressure. So the material space coming under pressure, as well as the energy sector. We have a look at what's happening around the region. We have seen services Caixin PMI coming out of China, and this unexpectedly strengthened to a 10-month high. So that's helping sentiment. We are also seeing US futures slightly higher as well. So the Australian share market not looking too bad, although outside of property, it is mostly defensive sectors which are outperforming today.
And, you know, about a month ago we were testing new highs. The share market's down since then, though. What is the outlook for equity investors as we head into the back half of the year?
We have a look at the second half. We do think that fixed income rather than equity will be very much in focus. And that's because of where yields are at the moment, the slowing growth picture, as well as disinflation. From an equity point of view, we do expect more volatility in the second half. And that's why we think that investors should focus on the quality aspect of investing. So these are companies with relatively stable cash flows and conservative balance sheets. We have a look across the globe. Of course, one area that stands out in terms of quality is the US stock market. The S&P 500, because of the number of very large mega caps, has a very strong quality factor to it. But all up, we do think there's going to be a few more bumps on the road in the second half of the year, especially compared to the first.
That's Julia Lee there from Global State Street Advisors.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.